Today, we will read John chapter 4, verses 1 through 30. Before we begin, let's pray. Lord God, I pray that you would speak to our hearts today. Lord, open our eyes to see you more clearly. Help us to understand what it is that you want to teach us, how we are to live, and how we should change, and what we should do today. Help us to hear the word and apply it to our lives today. Lord, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 30. Now, Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. Although, in fact, it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now, he had to go through Samaria. So, he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had 5 husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and has now come, when true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he." Just then, the disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" They came out of the town and made their way toward him. All right. In today's reading, we see the story of Jesus talking with a Samaritan woman at a well. Now, this is, in many ways, a beautiful story. And so, taking it and breaking it apart, let's look at some interesting things. First of all, there's Samaria. Most Jews, as we see in the passage, in verse number 9. In verse 9, we see, "For the Jews do not associate with Samaritans." The Jews didn't like the Samaritans. They were considered a subclass of people. The Jews thought that the Samaritans were half-breeds. So they looked down on them. They were not considered to be good people. So most Jews didn't talk with Samaritan. In fact, most Jews would go out of their way to avoid going through Samaria. But not Jesus. Instead, Jesus chose to go through Samaria. And I believe that he had a purpose. I believe that part of his plan all along was to meet and talk with this woman, and through her, to reach the town. And we'll see that in tomorrow's reading. So he sits and he starts talking with this woman. Now, they're talking about water. And he talks about living water. What on earth is he talking about? Well, let's look at the whole thing. And remember, many times, Jesus speaks in pictures. And so he takes spiritual truth and speaks in a physical picture about spiritual things. And so he talks about living water. Now, is he talking about actual physical water? No. He makes that clear. But he is talking about living water, water for your heart, for your soul. That just as your body gets thirsty for water, your heart gets thirsty for God. Your heart longs for something. It's thirsty for something. And many times, we try to find and satisfy this thirst with things other than God. We try to make ourselves satisfied with our job, satisfied with a person, satisfied with a relationship, satisfied with fame or money, or we go looking to satisfy ourselves in other places. Yet, the Bible makes it clear, Jesus is the only one who truly satisfies. And so here, he is painting a picture. Just like in chapter 3, he talks about being born and being born again and paints a picture of a new spiritual life with a physical picture of being born. Here, he's talking about spiritual life and our spiritual hunger and being satisfied through Jesus. And so, he says, that he has living water. He says in verse 10, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. So she says, oh, give me this water so I won't have to come back. So she's thinking physically. But then he says in verse 12 or 13, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. So then she says, give me this water. I don't want to have to come back here and get water again. So before he really answers and explains, he kind of takes a sidetrack and he says, go call your husband. You see, he sees things in her that are problems. He sees the sin in her life that is separating her from God, that is keeping her separate and isolated from people. And that is her relationships. She has had 5 husbands. And so he says, go, call this man. And she says, oh, I'm not married. And he says, yes, you've had 5 husbands, and the man you're with now is not your husband. In her culture, that would have been very bad. She would have had a very bad reputation. And Jesus knows this, and he's addressing it. But he's still talking to her. He's still dealing with her with love. This is encouraging to me, that even people that society sees as being outcasts, as being unredeemable, Jesus sees hope in them. Jesus sees promise in them. Even this woman who has been through 5 relationships, 5 failed marriages, she still has value to him. And she still is important and is redeemable. Nothing that she has done is bad enough to make her unreachable. And so he starts talking with her about worship. And she realizes that he's more than just an ordinary traveler. And so she asks him about how to worship God and how to reconnect with God. And he says, it's not about where you worship. You don't have to go through certain things. You don't have to come to Jerusalem in order to worship God. No, true worshipers worship God in spirit. And he's beginning to open the door to understanding that our relationship with God isn't about our ancestry. It isn't about whether we are Jews or a different nationality. All nations are welcome. It's also not about our location. It's not about I have to be in a certain place or from a certain place. No, it's about the Spirit of God. And all people can come before God and worship Him through the Spirit of God. Today, we can worship in spirit and in truth. And so as I look back over this, let's take a minute to think. What do we learn? What does God want us to learn from this? Well, first we see a picture of living water. And for me, that reminds me today to desire God, to drink from God and Jesus, and satisfy my spiritual thirst from the Bible and not from other sources. Second, we see and we learn about worshiping in spirit. And verse 24, God is a spirit. His worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth. This is important, and I think it reminds me that God wants me to remember it's not about my outward actions. It's about my spirit, my soul. That I can go through the motions in the outside, But true worship comes from the heart. True worship comes from the Spirit. And finally, we see one more interesting thing. Verse 26, Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, am He. I am the Messiah." And I think this is also important, that Jesus did claim to be the Messiah. He did claim to be the promised one. Some people might say that he didn't. But here, he is clearly saying, "I am the Messiah." And so, as we go on, we'll see more about that. But seeing who Jesus claims to be, that he is one who can provide eternal life. He provides living water. And we see that in verses 10 and 13. That he gives him living water or eternal life. That's where it comes from. So as we go on, seeing what Jesus claims. So what does that mean? Well, for me, one of the things that I choose to apply today and how I want to live today is worshiping God in spirit and being sure that even in my devotional time, this time where I'm reading the Bible, that it's not just about an outward action. It's about a heart connection. So what about you? What has God said to you today? Remember, it's not about me or what I say. I'm just a man, and I don't have every answer. I haven't gone through today and said everything that we can learn from this passage. Ask God to speak to you. What does He want you to do? The thing that I said may have nothing to do with what He speaks to you. He may have given you a special message that's different or another way to apply it. So take a few minutes and pray and ask God to help you see how can you apply this life, this to your life. How can you take what you've learned today and live it today? Lord, help us to follow you. Help us to obey and to do what you ask us to do today. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.